And now, Lifestyles Unlimited presents the Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Over the next hour, we unfold your map to financial freedom. You'll learn how to retire through investing in single-family and multifamily real estate. You'll learn how to create cash flow and build wealth so you can have the time and money to live the lifestyle you want.
Welcome to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. I'm Mike Harrison, and yes, we're always working on your financial freedom. It's my privilege to be joining you today. If you miss any parts of the show, you can find us on our YouTube channel, obviously the website, lifestylesunlimited.com, and then the podcast app on the smartphone, my favorite way to catch the show. And if you like the show, I'd like to ask a favor that you please share the show. My email address is askmike@luinc.com. I'm here to help, and today I'm going to hit some emails from our listeners. I do this every few weeks or so. So if you sent me an email, just want to say thank you out front. But here's one from Daniel. He says, hello, I'm an entry-level member in Lifestyles Unlimited, and I'm wondering, should I buy houses that are built after 1979? And he also says, when members get the Blitz, is there a year-built criteria? Well, thanks, Daniel. The Blitz is for our challenge members, and it's where our real estate and our real estate team will go evaluate properties, investment opportunities that make great rental properties, and they do the evaluation and analysis for you, and they'll send a Blitz out. And really all they're saying is, hey, who wants to buy this house? Here's some information. Basically, it's how much it will cost you out of pocket, what year the house is built, what your anticipated cash flow will be, what your return will be, and what your essentially your equity capture from their analysis will be. So it's a pretty quick way you can get that Blitz, and you can chime in and go, yeah, I'd like to buy that house. So the Blitz is great. I've bought homes off the Blitz myself. So yes, the Blitz will provide the home age. Now, Daniel, before I get to your question, I want to discuss for listeners, for me, what is most important, what I look for in a rental property. And my first requirement is cash flow. All right, so if I'm doing my analysis, I want to know, what is the cash flow? How much am I going to make each and every month when I purchase this property, when I rehab it, when I put a resident in there? Obviously, we'll need to have an analysis of what the rent will be. We don't guess. If everything in the neighborhood is renting for about $1,500 a month and this house fits right in with those others that are renting for $1,500 a month, I think we should expect that we can rent the property for $1,500 a month. We don't go into a $1,500 neighborhood and try to rent it for $2,000 a month. It doesn't work. Best product, best price. So rule one for me, it must absolutely cash flow. Now, you'll listen to other advisors outside of Lifestyles Unlimited that are not members of Lifestyles Unlimited that don't teach what we teach here at Lifestyles Unlimited. And I've heard some of these real estate, and I'm going to throw up the metaphorical quotes in the air, these gurus that simply believe it's okay to break even on a property, that it doesn't need to cash flow because they say you're making money these other ways. I will tell you, that is simply false. Do not buy a property unless you have a cash flow piece in that property. So that's the first item I look at, is the cash flow. But I want to know relative to my out-of-pocket. I'll give you an example. Let's say you spend $30,000 out-of-pocket to purchase a property. I want that cash flow to be a 7 to 8% annual in comparison to the $30,000. That's today's market. Not too, so long ago, we were seeing 10%, 15% as the cash flow, as a percentage of out-of-pocket, but we've adjusted to market conditions. So 7% of $30,000, that's $2,100 a year. That would be about $175 a month. That would be an acceptable return on my analysis. Not your analysis, not someone else's. They may seek different conditions, but for me, if I can get a 7 or 8, I'm satisfied, and I will move my analysis of that property into the next, into the I'm interested category. I still have to analyze more. So the second thing I'm gonna look for is equity capture. And in today's market, I'm seeing 100% or more equity capture on these purchases. If the property has a 50% equity capture return, that's fine with me. 50% or above. I've now satisfied my second requirement. Requirement one, cash flow. Requirement two, I want to make at least 50% on that equity capture. Now, again, those two categories are what's important to me. Other real estate investors may have different requirements. It just depends on the person and what they're looking for at the time. Historically, for me, it was cash flow that I always sought out. But I know real estate investors that they're just focusing on the equity capture. There's still a cash flow portion there, but they'll take a less return on the cash flow if the equity capture is large enough. Why? Because they may want to double their money quickly and they don't necessarily need their cash flow. Okay, so those folks out there, they may be only engaging in a property if it's got 100% or more of equity capture. My third criteria is location. Okay, location. One, cash flow. Two, equity capture. Three, location. Is this property in an area that has good economics? Is this property in an area that has expanded job growth, continuing job growth? Is there a growing population? Let's look at the neighborhood. What's the neighborhood like? We're looking for essentially working class, everyday neighborhoods so we can appeal to the most amount of people possible. Is there good infrastructure? Is the neighborhood all dirt roads and tore up, or it's got good infrastructure, right? The utilities, the road. What's the crime rate in that area? You get online and you can check that. If you're buying a property and the crime in that area is horrific, it's going to be a problem attracting quality residents to live there. Is the area getting better or getting worse? I like areas that are being gentrified, right? They're coming up, they're redoing all the roads. Some people are tearing down some of the older houses and building nice, new, very expensive houses. You can find a rental property in one of those areas. Good for you. That's a great place to invest. What are the local and state politics? And it's sad that I have to even mention that, but those items have come into play in today's fractured society more than ever. We need to find a home in an area where the people that are in charge respect property rights and they respect business owners. And again, it's appalling that I have to say that, but it's important. After I've looked at those three items, now I'll look at the age of the home. Okay, how old is this property? Understand that the older the home, even after we fix everything, and we do fix everything, we bake that into our rehab costs, and we create that best product, best price, those older homes are going to require more maintenance. And many investors are okay with that, okay? Some folks only want a short-term hold. They know they're going to fix everything. They're going to hold it for 2 or 3 years, and they're going to sell it, so it doesn't bother them. I have friends that don't mind homes that are built in the 30s, 40s, and 50s, and they buy them all day long. They fix them up, and they lease them to great people. So really, Daniel, to me, if the math makes sense, I'm okay with an older property. It just depends on what my strategy is. I would only look at younger properties if your strategy is really based on a longer hold time. That's when that's going to come in play. But regardless of the age of the home, our analysis is going to have us fix everything. I'll tell you this, three items that stand out to me if you're buying a property built prior to 1979, just shooting from the hip. There may be more out there, but aluminum wiring, there was a period in the early 70s when aluminum wiring was used. It's not necessarily a no, but understand you're going to have to get your GC to correct that, and you don't have to rewire the whole house. They basically, I think it's they put pigs in or something like that, and they tie it in so that the aluminum wiring's not the hazard that it can be. Check with your insurance company. Some insurance companies may not insure a home that has aluminum wiring. The second thing, cast iron plumbing. I've owned some older houses. I always bake in redoing, repiping. If it's old enough and it's got that cast iron, make sure you incorporate that in your analysis. Again, no big deal as long as you realize it's there and you're going to fix it. And then the third, thinking out loud, lead paint. If you understand these three items going in, it's more often than not that big of a deal, but you just need to check into it and understand what needs to be done. Lead paint could be a nightmare in the wrong city. Do your homework on that. I'll tell you, in Texas, really, if I recall, there's really just a disclaimer that we sign when we purchase the property, and the disclaimer says that we need to understand there's a possibility that lead paint may be present in the home. And when we sell the home, the new buyer basically needs to sign that same disclaimer. But keep in mind the words possibility and may be present. You're going to sign it, you're going to acknowledge it, and then you're going to purchase the home. So if you're interested in a short-term hold, 2 to 3 years, I wouldn't let age become a factor, quite honestly. If long-term hold's where you're at, maybe you want to think about it a little more. So really appreciate the questions. My next question is from Carlos, and he says, should I manage the property myself or hire a property management company? Thanks, Carlos. That's a good one. It's an issue I went through when I started buying rental properties. I started purchasing them when I was in corporate America. I had a very demanding job. My wife was a stay-at-home mom taking care of three kids, and that's not an easy task. But I had this genius idea, and I, you know, we laugh about it now, but I had the genius idea that when I started, my wife would be the property manager while taking care of three young kids and all that entails. I was out of town often, 3 to 4 days a week, very busy. And then when I came home, it was office all the time, often until midnight. So super busy. And so I was like, oh, okay, well, we'll buy these rental properties and babe, I'll let you basically run everything that needs to be done. Now, keep in mind, this is pre Lifestyles Unlimited. We didn't know what we were doing. We were kind of fumbling through it. We had an idea of what it was. But my wife's got a really big heart, okay? And when someone has an issue that she knows she's responsible for correcting, it weighs on her. And she's also a bit of an introvert. So I buy this first home, rent it to some residents, basically hand her the cell phone and leave town and say, if you got any issues, give me a call. This was not a good idea from my end. Managing the home was really not a big deal for her. However, her stress level of carrying the responsibility for that, her stress skyrocketed. So basically about 4 months later, after trying that plan, I took over the management, and it was really seamless, even with my corporate responsibilities. Once you get the home stabilized, honestly, I was spending less than 2 hours per month on owning the rental property. And really, most of that time was just dedicated to the financials, not the on-hand management. You know, was the rent paid? Yes or no. Enter the financials into my spreadsheet. Make the payments for the taxes, the mortgage, the insurance. Once a year, I would fight the property taxes, which that took a little bit of time. But then I started subbing it out to these protest companies. So really, it takes no time. Sign a little form. Yep. Protest the taxes. Move on. And then the personal income taxes that I had to work on, that took me a little bit of time. But anyway, more on the other side. We'll go into should you have a management company or manage yourself.
Got questions? Call Lifestyles Unlimited at 855-497-4335. The Real Estate Investor Radio Show continues next.
Lifestyles Unlimited, the education and mentoring group with a roadmap and support to help you real estate retire.
Having the consulting team, having other avenues within your whole system is what's made y'all successful. Everyone is there to guide you to be successful. So it's just up to you to get off the butt and do it.
Do it. Take action today. Get educated now at Lifestyles Unlimited. Text the word radio to 88007. That's radio to 88007. Join for $297, a 60% savings. Lifestyles Unlimited. Text radio to 88007.
Creating the lifestyle you've always wanted. You're hearing Lifestyles Unlimited's Real Estate Investor Radio Show.
Welcome back to the show. I'm Mike Harrison. If you have any questions for me, please send me an email. Ask Mike at LUINC.com. I do respond personally to your questions. If I get the question on the show when I do the mailbag questions, I'd be happy to do that. And I'm reviewing one from Carlos, and he asked, should I manage the property myself or hire a property management company? Carlos, I want you to understand, you will spend some time if you're self-managing. It's not over the top, especially if you use the methods that we teach you. Again, once I had the property stabilized, it was just a couple of hours a month, essentially, is what I worked on. I transferred the property tax protest to a protest company. But by the time I got to six houses, so I self-managed to about six houses, I went ahead and hired a property management company, okay? But you can network with others here at Lifestyles Unlimited. If you have a mentor or if you're in our challenge program at Lifestyles Unlimited, you have access to single family mentors that can walk you through that process. So really, it's a personal question. If you've got the time and it's something you want to do, by all means, do it. If you don't have the time, then feel free to sub it out to a property management company. Just understand it's going to affect your cash flow a tad, about 7 to 10% of the overall rent. All right, here's a question from Jake. He actually three questions here. He says, what risks are associated with owning a rental property? How can I protect myself from potential liabilities as a landlord? And are there any insurance policies I should consider purchasing for my rental property? Okay, all three of those are great questions. Let's talk about risk first. Let's talk about financial risk before we get to hazard risk. There are risks in every investment. Financially, there's always a risk to loss of investment dollars. You should do your homework. We teach a tried and true method here at Lifestyles Unlimited, and those financial risks are overcome with education and analysis, right? The more education you have, the more you understand what you're looking at, the more you analyze that property and you understand the math, well, the financial risk dwindles rapidly. So the more information you have, the greater your ability to navigate the financial risk. Now, I don't know if you're asking about financial risk or hazard risk. Let's talk about that hazard risk. Yes, have a good insurance policy on every rental property that you own, every rental asset. It's crucial. Don't go get the fly-by-night, unscrupulous insurance company and save a couple hundred dollars. If you need it, if you need insurance, you're going to want to deal with a quality insurance person, and you're going to want to have a quality insurance policy. So don't just buy the cheapest one. Understand what you're looking at. You can find folks that specifically work with real estate investors, right? Not just any insurance person. The person that is, if you have an insurance agent over your personal home, maybe they're the correct agent for your rentals. Maybe not. There is a difference, but I would talk to somebody who specializes in insurance for rental property, and don't just buy the cheapest. Now, part two and three of your question, Jake, how can I protect myself from potential liabilities as a landlord? Are there any insurance policies I should consider purchasing for my rental property? Yes, I'll answer both. Really, I have an insurance policy, an umbrella insurance policy. When I had numerous homes, I had that at $2 million. It's really inexpensive. I didn't get the umbrella policy until after my fifth home, okay? But again, it's relatively inexpensive. There are limits to the particular policies on each and every house. I'm no insurance expert. I really recommend that you would talk to an insurance expert, but I'm just telling you what I've learned and understand and have used in my own rental properties. But I believe each particular rental property has a $300,000 coverage for liability. My umbrella is there to kick in. Again, that's a $2 million umbrella that was over all my policies. So that's important. I will also tell you this, if you want to mitigate risk, the very best way you can do it is tenant screening, right? Screen those tenants prior to accepting a lease application. Sounds so simple, but there are people out there that do not do it, and then they get the wrong resident and their property, and the damage just, look, bad residents seem to attract damage, put it that way. This one's from Segunda, and she says, I have listened to several of your podcasts. You always say to send you an email. Yes, I do, on what's holding you back. All right. She says, I decided to send an email on what's holding me back. She says, I have a little fear of the unknown of real estate investing. I've wanted to pull the trigger on a deal, but not sure I know everything I should know. I listen to Dell all the time. I would like to purchase 3 properties this year. Okay, great. Just the fact that you want to get into real estate is the biggest part of this whole process, just that realization that you want to change your life, you want to buy cash flowing assets. Absolutely. And I didn't know what I didn't know when I started out. So we're conditioned to be afraid to invest in anything that's not stocks, bonds, mutual funds, right? Those are jammed down us day and night. We see TV commercials, we see billboards. We're told when we're young that the way to get ahead and to feed your retirement is to invest in the stock market. And so there's no fear of that because everyone's doing it. Your parents did it. Your neighbors are doing it. The people you work with are doing it. You've been told your whole life that's the way you get ahead. And so there's no fear of that. But once you look into what you're really doing, I think there should be immense fear to investing in the stock market when you boil it down. But people invest blindly into that. And I was one of those people for many, many years. But I tell you, when you look at it, some years your investment portfolio are up, sometimes they're down. They have conditioned you to not realize that you actually lost money. Anytime your stocks go down at any given point in time, you have lost money. Now, they tell you, well, it's only a loss once you sell. Well, what if you need to sell that particular day? You have lost money. I don't like the up and down. I want to only buy things that make me money, right? Never lose money. That's one of our rules here at Lifestyles Unlimited. That's why we invest in real estate. Real estate is the most forgiving asset class today. We have all the benefits in our favor. We've got the 30-year fixed mortgage. We're putting leverage on all these properties. We can have up to 10 conventional loans in our name. After that, we can go use private money out there. We have the ability to create passive income and cash flow. We have the tax advantages. I will tell you this. Yes, when you start out, you're not going to know everything you need to know. That's why it's important to get educated. But I will tell you that even a huge mistake in buying a real estate property, an investment property, will reverse itself over time. Okay. Even a huge mistake. I don't want you to make the huge mistake, but I'm telling you, real estate is extremely forgiving. And so it will reverse itself. It's just real estate is just the slightest miscalculation here or there. You're still benefiting in all these other ways. So I don't want fear to get in the way. But what I want you to do is get educated. And you can call us here at Lifestyles Unlimited. You can go to givemetotalfreedom.com. If you go to givemetotalfreedom.com, you join our program. We will educate you into what you need to know to properly purchase those single family homes. Okay. That's going to enable you to get the education. And once you sign up, Segunda, you need to attend that financial freedom seminar. And you're going to give up a weekend to do it. It's 8 hours on Saturday, 8 hours on Sunday. But we're going to teach you what you need to know so that you don't make any mistakes. And really, more importantly, once you understand what you're doing and you have a method, it will take that fear away from you. You'll meet other people there. You'll be able to network with other folks. So sign up for Lifestyles Unlimited as an education program. That's what we do. We're an education and mentoring group. We've helped thousands upon thousands of people all over the country change their life. I know it changed mine. But if you get that education piece, that's going to enable you to overcome the fear that you have. I'm happy that you want to buy 3 properties this year. That's fantastic. Okay, this one's from Phil, and Phil is, let me read through here. He's looking at purchasing condos, but then he says, what's the best type of rental property to own? Single family, homes, multifamily, or condos? I will tell you this, we don't teach condominium investing. I do know people that have done very well with a condo. But the problem with a condo is you own the airspace, right? From the wall to the wall. Other than that, the building, there's a condo association that's in charge of that, and they may come out 3 months after you buy that condo and assess everybody a $10,000 fee so they can go get a new roof or go get new siding. So the fees are always changing, and you can't overcome any of that. You have no control over how that property is being run. You also have no control over who's in the condo next to you, right? That's getting to be a big issue today, especially with these short-term rentals. If you're in a neat area and you're attracted to where this condo is, location-wise, understand that there's probably some short-term rentals in that building. And if you're going to rent your condo to a resident, understand that there may be some concerns or maybe some crazy parties going on. It happens all the time. So condos always make me a little nervous. I know you're probably looking at it from a price point, but I would look at single family rental real estate. It is the greatest asset class that you can possibly put your money into. Everybody needs a place to live, right? I know you're looking at the condo, but someone's got three choices. If you've got a excellent single family home, you've rehabbed everything in a great neighborhood, you're not going to have any trouble finding a great resident to live in there. Multifamily, yes. If you can go buy your own multifamily, absolutely. It's an excellent investment, but you've got to do your analysis. You can't just shoot from the hip and go, what's best to buy? I can make as much money on a single family property as I can in a multifamily property, at least from a percentage standpoint, maybe more. Right now, you can get 100% equity capture buying that single family home. You're not getting that in apartments right now. Not to say that you can't get that over time on the right investment, but that single family home, instantly, you can get that big pop on the equity capture. You can get the cash flow. Multifamily investing, there's several ways to do it. We teach it here at Lifestyles Unlimited. You can purchase your own apartment. Yes, understand that. That's hard for people to realize. You can also invest passively into a multifamily investment, or you can invest passively into dozens of multifamily investments as a passive investor. What's a passive investor? Passive investors, where they'll get people like me and they'll get, you know, upwards. I'm in some deals where there's 20 of us, and I'm in some others where there's 200 of us, but we pool our money and we find a great lead investor that has identified a wonderful business opportunity. We will pool our money and we will hand that to the lead investor. Obviously, we have done our own homework and we agree with the strategies of the business plan. We've read the private placement memorandum and we decide, hey, this is a great opportunity to invest in. I'd like to be a part of it. So us as passives, we have no say in how that property is run. We have no say in how it's managed. Once the lead takes it over, the lead is in charge, okay? So we don't get to dictate how that's done, but that lead investor will supply us with monthly reports, and then we'll get our income quarterly, our dividends from that investment. So if you go in on a property, you might own 1, 2, 3, 4% or 0.5% of that entire apartment community, depending on the size and the purchase, but you're going to realize the quarterly dividends based on your investment into that property, the percentage that you've invested into it. So to answer your question, I don't like condos. I'm not telling you, you may or may not be successful in a condo, but I would stick with single family homes or multifamily investing, no matter how you do it. So Phil, thank you for your question. For the rest of you out there, start with small good choices and compound them. Create the cash flow, compound the cash flow, reinvest and repeat. And that way, if you want to live the life that others don't live, you have to be willing to do the things that others won't do. See you next week.
Thank you for listening to Lifestyles Unlimited's Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Ready for more of the map? Visit lifestylesunlimited.com. Explore our videos and articles. Click on the radio tab to access past show podcasts. View the radio show schedule and listen to our best of radio shows. Want to continue the conversation? Follow Lifestyles Unlimited on Facebook today. We want to meet you as well. Sign up for a free workshop at lifestylesunlimited.com. Until next time, remember, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle.
The information and opinions you hear on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show are those of the hosts, guests, and callers and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.